All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Welcome to a brand new episode of Word Bros. I'm Kevin Cuff.
I'm Bob France. And together, Kevin and I write comics and do this podcast.
And interview cool people.
We like do.
Us. We do. We've been getting really lucky with our interviews.
So I mean, I'm very happy about it. I don't want to jinx it because we've had some really great guests lately. But we've had some really great guests lately, and the trend will continue today.
It will. It gets even better. Like if that's possible, if it's possible to make our podcast even better than it was before, it happens today.
Kevin, believe me, it's way possible to make our podcast better.
I believe you.
So this week we have the Chain to the Grave crew, which is a book by IDW. It's really beautiful. It's a beautiful book. Like, we can't stress that enough. This thing just pops off the page. It's really great. But Chain to the Grave, the posse, because I guess a posse is a good word for this because it's a
Western. It is. That's a great, I like that segue. You're a pro.
Thanks. It's written by Brian Level and Andy Eisenbach with art by Kate Sharon and letters by Micah Myers. I mean, it's a really good looking book, man. It's pretty. Well, and it's well written. It's a really great book.
To follow your great segue, I think we need to get to the shindig.
Nice.
Brian went upstairs to change into something nicer and he comes down looking like a member of Suicidal Tendencies. That's wonderful.
That's all right. That's how I dress all the time when I look nice. I just dress like
sure only the top button should be done on that shirt.
Yeah.
Are you telling me to have it loose, dog?
No, I'm saying keep the top one button and the rest loose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'll go like straight Venice Beach. Straight Venice
Beach. Yeah. There you go.
Now I just hear the song. Hey. Yeah, that's awesome. So we have the entire creative team for Chain to the Grave on this podcast. Kevin and I have never done a show with this many people. So I'm afraid some of it's going to be like conversations you hear on public transit, like people just talking. And that's fine too. I'm just really excited about having all of you on. Andy sent me and Kevin an advanced copy of the book, so we got to read it. First thing I want to say, Andy, is that fucking print was so small. I am an old man with old eyes. It was very hard to read, Andy, with the small print hurt my eyes. But the book is fantastic, and we have all of you here. Let's Brian Level, I guess, just go down, just say hello and who you are and what you do and how this thing has all worked out.
I'm Brian, and I co-wrote this with Andy.
And then Andy, you go next.
I'm Andy Eschenbach, and I wrote the book with Brian. And
all right, and then Kate.
Hi, I'm Kate Sharon, and I drew the book and I colored it as well.
And then last but certainly not least, Micah.
I'm Micah Myers. I lettered the book.
There you go. And this is the entire creative team for Chain to the Grave coming out. It's actually out tomorrow in real time. This won't come out until Monday. So it's in comic shops right now. Hello to all of you.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Well, Brian, we've had you on the pod before.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you're wonderful. You were great. We had a really good time talking to you. It was a lot of fun. Andy, I know Andy through living in Cincinnati and going to shows and stuff. Micah, we know Micah from, because I used to live in Virginia Beach, so I know Micah through there. Kate, we've actually never met before. So how did you get hooked up with this motley crew of weirdos? That's what I want to know.
Well, I actually met Brian because a mutual friend of ours, Ryan Ferrier, actually brought me on for something else that they were writing together that I'm actually drawing now, that's, you know, currently in the works but hasn't been announced. And when the first time Brian and I hopped on the horn to chat about that project, it, like, I think we talked for what, like 4 hours or something, or something like that. It was just kind of like, ah, we click, it's good, we friends, yeah. It's done. And, and so, you know, we've just been friends ever since. And he is also my my tattoo artist as well.
There you go. So are you in Cincinnati? Like, are you in the area?
I'm actually in Savannah, Georgia currently.
Okay.
Because I'm teaching at Savannah College of Art and Design. Wow. I'm teaching in the sequential department. So I get to teach all these new folks how to make the comics.
That's awesome. That's okay. Awesome. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So you hooked up with Brian, and then how did Brian pitch this idea to you? Like, how did you get attached to Chained to the Grave?
Oh, you know.
Had you visited before we approached you about Chained to the Grave?
Well, there was a Friendsgiving where I know I was talking to Andy about doing something together because, you know, Andy's cool.
Andy is cool.
and I feel like in the short list of things that you had, Andy, was like, there was a couple of like short stories, and then there was like, oh, and this pitch. And I think I was like, what's this ...
Yeah.
And I think that was it, ?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it more after that, but that was the beginning.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so tell us, how did this whole thing come together then? Like, so Andy, was it originally your idea and Brian liked it and he hopped on? Were you guys working on this in tandem? Like, how did this come about?
We made it up in IHOP. Like, we just started talking about the characters first.
There you go. Okay.
And then, yeah, just getting each other hyped on whatever character, whatever scenario we could put that character in, and then jotting them down and organizing that, and then turn it into a plot outline. You know, but it all started late night IHOP mission.
That sounds very Brian Level-esque. You are the, I guess, the patron saint of, you know, like late night
24-hour diners.
Yeah, like that's your jam.
I swear to God, if I die and anybody tries to like saint me for anything, that better be it.
Yeah, the patron saint of Waffle yeah. House and IHOP, Brian Level.
Yep.
Because
Denny's as well, bro. Denny's.
There's too. Denny's around here. Where?
It's Walton. It's way down south, though.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going down all that way. No,
I'll take you down there.
I barely cross the border anymore. Like, I stay in Ohio. I'm not doing that anymore. It's very
rich. classic Kentucky phobia there.
No. It's just there's nothing over there for me anymore, man. Like, I venture that way every now and then, but you know, unless I get a call from you saying we're going to Waffle House, then I'll meet you there. But other than that, it doesn't really happen all that much anymore. But yeah, so you guys hooked up at the Waffle House. Now you guys are doing a Western. Now Westerns are one of those things that's a hard sell, man. Like, did you kind of feel you were up against it immediately, or how did the whole thing kind of work out? Did you try to talk yourself out of the Western genre or what?
No, we just went for it. We weren't really thinking about it.
Yeah. We didn't really give a shit, pardon my French. I think, like, we're both kind of, like, Andy and I, at least, like, we kind of came at it like, well, this is just tight. Like, I think Andy and I both kind of share, like, a certain amount of, like, who cares, like, about, like, what people think about it. Because we know stuff, like, we think stuff's cool, so we assume there's other people. Like, we're not that unique. We're the only two that think it's cool. So, like, we just kind of felt like, well, if we think it's tight, so will some other people.
All right. So far, so good, right? It's working out pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in fairness, like, whatever appeal that it had, like, what Kate and Micah brought to it just increased that, like, tenfold, because it went from being somewhat niche to being, like, weirdly, like, extremely, I don't know, like, appealing in a way that I can't really quite describe.
The artwork is beautiful.
Yeah, like, the colors are amazing.
It just pops, man. Like, it looks amazing. Because when I first heard the title, I was like, okay, this is going to be like kind of a spooky horror thing. And you open it up and there are elements of spooky horror, but it's almost done like in a cool kind of cartoony way. And I really dug that. It's kind of a nice juxtaposition, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was one of those sort of things where, like, I have been doing a lot of license work. Like, I've done probably like 25 books or something like in 5 years.
Wow.
And it was all like Amazing World of Gumball and Invader Zim and My Little Ponies and Rugrats and a little bit of Labyrinth and stuff like that. And it's all been great, but it's all been me drawing on model, like in other people's style for 5 years for, you know, 25 books and hundreds of pages. And so, I mean, you know, because a couple of those were graphic novels in there. So like literally like hundreds and hundreds of pages. And so when Brian and Andy and I were, you know, talking about this, like, They had complete faith in letting me just kind of like really let my freak flag fly and get to really unleash what I've been wanting to do and have had to kind of, you know, hold back on, because, you know, when you're doing licensed work, you got different masters, you know? Mm-hmm. And like I said, it was great work. I don't regret any of it, but boy, howdy, has it been so fun to just completely let loose and, you know, especially with the color, like the color has been, I'm excited for you guys to see the issues to come. Like, I really feel like it's settled into its rhythm and the color is just really, really seeing in those later episodes. Yeah.
It's fine. It's yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Hey, Hollywood, cool. Call us. This would actually make a really good TV.
Absolutely meant episodes.
And it's cool too. And I know that Andy digs the book, because as you were talking about the future episodes, Andy started smiling kind of from ear to ear. Like, he was really jazzed about it. So what's
it looks they look so good, Bob. You can't help it.
There was I actually got to see them. I went to the comic store and signed some today for the release tomorrow, and I got to see them in print. And they, like, as good as they look online, they look great in print.
So, okay, I'm just going to ask this for selfish reasons. Which store did you go to sign?
Comics to Games.
Over in Florence, Carson, right?
Yeah, that's Florence. Yeah. Comics, the number 2, and then Games. That's awesome. Tess and Mike's spot. Yeah. Word. They asked me if I would sign some, so I was glad to oblige.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Now, how did you guys hook up with Micah Myers? So, Micah, you basically letter everything. Somehow, some way, you managed to find a way to letter every book in existence. How? How do you do this?
I don't sleep.
brother.
I don't do much of anything else but letter. It's a burden, but it's nice getting paid.
I love you.
It's always nice seeing your name in the store.
I love how, like, we've got Kate's like, the color's popping, it's all this. And Mike is just like, I'm just here to get fucking money, bro.
Hell yeah.
There's one guy on every team. Like, when you watch the old, like, Dirty Dozen movies, that's, I'm just in it for the payday. You know what I'm saying? And I love how that's your role in this, dude. I dig it.
Make the letters pretty for the money. That's what I do.
That's awesome. There seems to be like a real kinship between the four of you. Like, it's so natural and kind of fun. How did that kind of come into play with the book? Like, was it just very much like, fuck it, let's just do this and have a great time with it? It's just like, how much of your friendship kind of influenced the work?
I mean, it wouldn't exist without it, I don't think. So it's kind of the bedrock of the whole thing. At least from my point of view, like, this thing wouldn't even exist if it weren't for Andy and I just kind of shooting the breeze.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And then I think, Danny, was I working on stuff for you before this, or did I work on stuff with you because of this? Where did it go?
Yeah, we had worked together before. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, the face thing, the anthology.
Yeah.
Was that started before this?
Yeah, it's still not finished yet.
I couldn't remember if, I knew one followed the other, but I couldn't remember which way it went.
Yeah, we started making shorts together in an anthology I've been working on.
Oh, that's cool.
All of us just seemed to hit it off pretty easily. And I think it also, like, our friendship offers us the opportunity to have enough respect for each other to kind of let each other do our things. You know, I think that really came into play here.
You know, it really came from that trust that, like, I knew that, like, you know, the story that the boys gave me, like, they trusted me to just whatever I was going to do, they had that faith in me, like, and I knew that, like, and so it was really comforting to try some things that I wouldn't normally have done, and I knew that they'd have my back, and if they didn't, well, then we would just yell at each other and get over it and it would be fine.
Was there any yelling and tears shed about this whole thing? Because if anybody looks like a crier, it's Andy's the one who's gonna burst into
tears. Cry right now.
Really? Do it.
Let's go.
I was bluffing.
Oh,
yes. I have a hard time crying. I cry at the drop of a hat. It's me.
I don't know if there was really much of a conflict at all on anything. Even like when Andy and I were kind of talking about it, like there wasn't really much. It was pretty just extremely natural and smooth. I mean, it's not like we didn't have notes for each other or whatever, but they were so minimal, I think.
Yeah.
Mostly the notes were like, damn, that's fucking sick.
Oh, the notes were knowing Brian the level, the notes were, oh shit. Like,
oh shit. Guns. Fucking badass.
Now tell us, because Kevin and I have a process when writing scripts together. What is the Andy and Brian kind of process of writing a script together? How does that work out?
You want me to take it or you want to take it?
You can go ahead. It's fine.
It's an Andy process. He puts in so much fucking work. I'm always extremely spread thin. And so he's like, hey, like, is it cool with you if I tackle some of this? I'm like, well, hell yeah. You know, I think on the front end, you know, we do a lot of talking and writing stuff down and kind of like sorting some shit out. And Andy's like a big note taker, he's a process guy, I think. Like, you kind of have a methodology to things. Like, he's very organized, or at least he gives the appearance of it. At least if he's not, he's fooled me. We kind of go through and get like this sort of chaotic thing and then talk through what could happen and how things could happen. And then there's always like room in there for other stuff. But once you kind of get that down, then he kind of just went and wrote the scripts. Like, and I kind of went through and did some rewrites on some things. But I mean, it was really... you know, like if we're really talking division of labor, like he was, you know, he champed that.
Damn, son.
Well, it's kind of nice too, because Brian's really good at editing. So you bring the script back and Brian reads it and has all kinds of great suggestions. And there was one other fun thing too. He wanted to be the voice of one of the characters. Like, no matter what, I want to write the dialogue for this one particular character. I want to be the things that this guy says.
Have we seen this character yet? And can Brian do this voice?
We have not seen this character yet, and I don't even know if the voice is even remotely... Well, it's so... Everything he says is so inappropriate that...
I should have figured that was you. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little creative with the swearing. That was... I'll take credit for that, you know. If you know, sorry, Mom, or whatever you're supposed to say there.
You're not sorry.
Yeah, you're not.
I said whatever you're supposed to say. It's disingenuous, but I'm going
to
say it.
I mean, you can say whatever you want to on the podcast.
Yeah, I
want to
hear an example of your creative swearing. Now
I do too. Now I'm intrigued.
My interest.
I think at one point he told somebody to get the fuck out of his eyes. Pretty good.
Now, Micah, as you're lettering that, you're like, what the fuck is this?
I'm a big horror guy, so the fact that the book is a lot more, I would say, comedy. I mean, it's a horror setting, but with a lot of comedic touches to it.
Yeah.
And that's definitely awesome. I like that a lot. I do laugh a lot when lettering it.
That's good.
There's a lot of times, like, I don't even read while I'm lettering. I kind of just, because I'm trying to get, you know, through it. And
well, you got 98 books to letter, dude. Like, you're a machine.
I am definitely reading this one because it's funny. Awesome. I'm definitely a fan of the writing.
Now, Brian was saying, Andy, that you're a process guy. You want to like show us how the sausage is made and tell us some of your process, or you're going to keep that shit in tight so nobody knows the Andy method?
No, I mean, I have like a recipe box with note cards in it. it looks all organized, but if you looked at the note cards, you'd be like, what the fuck? You know, there's like scribbles all over them, and like I draw on them sometimes too. And yeah,
the secret Eisenbach sauce, that's what it is, right?
Yeah. Then I lay that stuff all on the floor and like stare at it for 2 hours, and then I start typing
13 verbs and pronouns.
And he says that, but then like you get a script and it's like literally broken down, like, okay, act one is this many pages, like on page one, like, will give you like a straight up like how this is like structure, has structure in the script. So like he can say that, but then he's playing, he's structured and extremely like,
oh yeah,
it's great.
It gets
to have you come in and talk to my scripting classes. Shit.
I don't know.
I just want to see this recipe box. That's what I'm interested in. Like, does it have like pumpkins and shit on it? Like, maybe
is it something like, from a little one, 70s, like and it's like carved wooden, and it's got like carved little fruit all over it.
Or I picture something more cardboardy that has like a very kind of country, maybe some ducks on it. Like, you know, like ducks
a geese. It's got to have those little white geese wearing
bonnets. Something like that. That's what my recipe box would look like for Andy.
Or little colors that separate the different acts or whatever. So you like a blue act one, and then act two is red. It goes with like all the other recipes in the box. Like my mom used to have this old Betty Crocker one that like was plastic and stuff.
Yeah, those were the best.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That's what I thought of. And it had like the recipes were all color coded for like, oh, if you're trying to make chicken, this is blue.
Andy, were you trying to make chicken? Is that what happened? Were you trying to make chicken?
No.
No, he calls it a recipe box, but really, have you ever seen Hellraiser?
Yeah,
that's the trick.
Now, do you also keep weed in your recipe box full of ideas too, bro? Is that where you hide your stash, dude?
No way. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the actual secret ingredient of the books. Weed.
Yeah, I look at so much weed when I write it.
So up to this point, we don't know, and the audience doesn't know what Chain to the Grave is about. Tell us what it's about. Each one of you can tell us from your, like, each one of you is going to have a different perspective. That's the funny thing about working in comics. Like, each one of you is going to think it's about something different. So that's going to be amazing hearing four different people talk about the same book.
Andy, take lead on that.
Well, you know, on the surface, it's a supernatural Western, you know, a little bit of humor. It's a story about an outlaw that's back from the dead, going back after the treasure that he buried, kind of being used as a human treasure map. But it's also about bad decisions and the blast radius they make.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, to add to that, you know, is a lot about Roy coming to terms with who he is, like the sort of, like the path that his life had, and now the path that his sort of, I guess, unlife is kind of putting in front of him. So like with family and legacy and all that, like kind of the cost of all that and that intersection of ultimately death. And there's some badass fight scenes with like a guy with a grave chained to his arm.
which is a cool touch. I dig that.
It's a great visual.
Yeah, it really is.
It's definitely all that. And I, you know, was picking up a soupçon of generational trauma and a hairy dog man's ass. So
mm-hmm. Okay,
that's
all right.
Really what I loved drawing the most.
The hairy dog man's ass. I mean, there's got to be something for everybody. And the kids love the dog man. So you put the dog man and then you got a smash right there. So there
Not
you go.
Not necessarily a fortune. This is the first book I cannot give to my niece and nephew. And I'm like dying. Like, because I have actually my niece and nephew are the same exact age as Brian's boys. And like, I've been able to give them every single comic I've made thus far in my career because it's all been, you know, kids' books. And this one, I'm just like, I'm so sorry, guys. you can't have this one. And not sorry, the next dudes. One either. I'm sorry.
And there's a little too much dick neck in this one.
Oh, God. There's dick neck. There isn't uh-huh. as much of that in the later books, but there is definitely some sack shadow. Some
oh, yes, books. There's some sack shadow.
Some
yeah.
sack shadow?
Yeah, a little sack flank.
You know,
some side sack.
Spot black, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. Micah, what's your take on the book?
I don't know.
Follow sack that. Shadow, Micah.
it's a fact to follow that sack shadow.
Dick shaft and shadow. I don't have fancy words like the writers do. A revenge chase story. A lot of funny, a lot of fighting, good fights. Yeah. A lot of cool colors.
A lot of deadly, yeah. That's cool.
I mean, that's one of the first things I noticed about the book is just the coloring scheme of it was so different, but not in a, you know, obviously not different in a bad way, but just cool. I mean, it was definitely cool. And just, you know, the colors really blew me away about all of it. I mean, the art and the colors are just so great for the story and for the book. Yeah, I mean, come for the art, stay for the fun story. That's what I say.
Now, was it intimidating at all? Was it intimidating at all, Kate, like drawing a book for Brian, not necessarily for Brian, but working, I guess, with Brian, because he's such an artist of a high caliber? Like, did you feel any like, man, well, I hope he digs this, I hope he likes this choice, or was that an easy process?
The intimidation didn't come from the, like, his skills, although his skills are ridiculous. Like, the man could lay out a page, like, I mean, like,
let's not do this. Like,
dude, Brian, you're good, dude. Like,
you're real good.
Like the Stradivarius of page layouts. Like, they're Jesus good shit, Christ. Right? And you know, and so like that is very impressive. But really, my nervousness more came down to like, you know, I love these guys, and I didn't want to let them down. Like, they were putting a story in my hands, and I wanted to make sure that I did them proud. You know,
mm-hmm.
So.
I mean,
I'd say you did awesome.
Yeah, I'd say mission accomplished.
Yeah.
If anybody's letting anybody down, it's going to be Andy. Like, Andy's going to be the one that's just terrible.
On purpose.
He's going to tank his own career.
I need to hurry up. If I'm trailing behind him, then I got to start some more sabotage act.
I was going to say, the emoting that the characters do on the page was great, Kate. So like you really starting to feel for this cowboy and his situation through his faces and things, like, and you get that he's getting the gravity and weight of it, but it's too late for him technically to have those emotions, so like it all weighs on him, and you can, and I think that is also like symbolically the grave that he has to carry around. So
I heard recently And I think maybe all of us could relate to this in storytelling. Clive Barker, I was listening to him talk, and he had said, you know, he tries to sell people really big, abstract ideas in his stories, but he also aims to make the stories as entertaining as possible. And so when we're kind of talking about like family and legacy and all these things, like in generational trauma, like the way he those are huge, like huge, heavy things. And he was like, I always think about stories like a river, and it takes a faster river to carry bigger stones. And so like to him, the ideas or like the themes are like stones, and he like really tries to keep this thing moving. So you like almost don't get like weighed down with the stuff, and he can bring these things to you. And I was like, holy shit. Like that, I totally relate to that. Cause I'm like try to not like get too hung up on the exposition of a feeling or whatever, but just like letting the story do the work. And I was like, man, like that, it's a, like, I don't know, I just really related to that. With Chained, I think Chained, like, especially with Kate's like really, really quick and like intense art, it kind of like keeps that river moving, so we can kind of keep punching these ideas in, like, and just kind of like it's very natural.
Well, you know, it was definitely something, I mean, like one of the shameful things about my process, and this is something I have to constantly be like to my students, you know, do as I say, not as I do, is that you know, to get that immediacy, to get that liveliness, I don't like to draw the page over and over again, which is very much the traditional, like, you do your thumbnails and you do your layouts and you do your pencils and you do your ink.
She's describing me so bad.
By the time you're done.
But the best part about that is I love the voice you were doing. You do the
and I'm over here like,
that's me.
Like, Brian, like so hardcore process, where it's like, I do thumbnails in a graph on like a piece of graph paper, literally like 6 boxes by 10, because that's perfect little translation. And then I take a picture of it, and then I blow it up in my file in Clip Studio, and then I ink. Like, there's no pencil, there's no layouts. Unless someone needs to see it in between, like if an editor calls for that, like I literally go from thumbnail straight to inks.
And that's crazy. You know,
it's all about, I need to catch that energy that you get when the first time you put that pencil to the page, you know? And I know me, I overwork everything to death. And so if I did all of those steps in between, if I did that pencil, I'd get all the good shit out in my, you know, in the earlier steps. And then, like I said, you'd be left with a dead fish on the page. And like, what do you do with that?
Yeah, but I bet you could draw a good dead fish.
I mean,
it would look cool. I bet you would rock that shit out. I bet you could do that.
You know,
I mean, this thing is, I mean, I can't stress it enough, and I don't want to sound like, because I know Brian and Andy and Micah, so I don't want to make it sound like I'm kissing up here, but like, this thing is fucking beautiful. Like, because when I heard the title, I thought like, and I know Brian, I know his sensibilities, Brian's a horror guy. So I thought something was going to be kind of grim and gritty, And you have that, but you're able to do it in such an expressive and colorful way. Like, it just totally threw me for a loop. I was like pleasantly, I was like, this thing is fucking gorgeous. Like, it is, it's beautiful, man. Like, you deserve all the kudos you're getting for this. It's perfect.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot to hear that. You know, it's a little nerve wracking. You know, I haven't had stuff that's been my style out on the shelf. I mean, like, technically ever. Like, I've done web comics, but then, like I said, I had that run of like 25 licensed books. And so this is kind of my first creator owned, like, my voice, you know, art wise going out on the shelf. And I couldn't have asked for, you know, better partners in crime for this, though. Like, good God, like, making books with people you love. Getting mushy, but like, shit, making comics with people you love is the best. Like, you're into this, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Like, when it feels like a job, that's when it sucks. But when you really, like, kind of like you said, you catch the energy, you're working with people that you love and you care for, it's just, it's so magical. And I think it reads on the page. It's really well done.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so the first issue's out already. It came out last Wednesday. So, like, how many issues are we looking at? Like, is this a 5-issue arc thing? What are we doing?
It's 5 off the rip, and, you know, I guess if it makes $1 billion, like, we could revisit, but we Andy and I talked about where we'd like to go if the opportunity, you know, presented itself, but as of right now, we're lucky to have 5, so.
That's awesome. That's great. That's really great, man. And how's IDW? Are they excited about the whole process? They love you guys? They love what you're bringing to the table?
They've been really great. You know, they've helpful on all accounts, letting us run with it when we want to, and giving us good advice when we need it. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
they've been very communicative too, which is great.
Which is hard to do in comics sometimes.
I know, it's a weird like, you'd assume that you shouldn't have to pat someone on the back for that, but like, they've been extremely communicative and prompt and all that.
Yeah, it is weird, because in comics, that is the one people ask, like, so what's it work like working with Scout? And I say, they answer emails, which is fucking amazing. Like, that's that's how low the bar is sometimes. So it's nice when you get that kind of feedback, you know?
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, so this thing is out. It's in stores now. Go to your local comic shop, pick this thing up. It's just good, man. Like, it's damn good. I'm really excited for you guys, and I'm happy for you, because, like I said, I know 3 of the 4 now. We know Kate, and it's good to see your friends do good work. So congratulations to you, dudes.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Right. Anything else you want to say? Anything else? Brian, where can we find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Brian_level. Got to have that underscore for some reason, like an idiot. And so at Brian_level, and on Instagram, it's my tattoo shop, Illuminaut Tattoo, but ILLUMINAUTTATTOO. If you search Brian Level, you'll find me.
Okay.
It's my tattoo shop email, but Twitter is just my name with an underscore between them.
All right. And Kate, where can we find you on the social media?
At Kate Sharon, KateSherron, and that is Twitter, Instagram, email, and website.
See how easy that is, Brian? See how easy,
that's all you had to do.
Look, I'm a chaotic motherfucker. What am I going to do about it?
I got a brother in marketing who, like, 7 years ago was like, you better get your handle, like, your name as your handle for Twitter, or else I'll disown you. And I was like, sure, thanks, Bob, we'll do.
The only true comic book story, the only reason I have an email with my name in it is because Jim Valentino yelled at me like 7 years ago that said, what the fuck is this email? If I'm going to be communicating with you, I need to know who it is.
What was the original email address that Jim Valentino yelled at you about?
It was bullets and teeth. Extremely unbranded. bulletsandteeth@yahoo.com. Yeah, bulletsandteeth@yahoo.com. So that's what I've had since I was like 15 years old.
Uh-huh. That's awesome that he called you out on your 15-year-old email. That's wonderful.
If there's anything Jim Valentino is no stranger to, is calling you out for anything.
And Micah, where can we find you, friend?
I need to switch to, like Kate does, where it's all one thing. My website's MicahLettersComics.com. On Twitter, it's Micah Myers, MICAH Myers, not like following. On Instagram, it's Micah_Myers. But, I mean, pretty much if you search Micah Myers, it's going to be me. There's not that many people with my name.
And your bibliography has to be fucking insane at this point. Like, how many books have you, like, if you had to count them all, right? How many books do you think you've lettered in like the past 2 years?
Oh, in the last, how many weeks?
Two years. 2 years. 2 years. See, that motherfucker said weeks. You mean weeks? Okay. Like a million. Like a million fucking books.
2 years. Yeah, I don't, yeah. It would definitely be over 100.
Jesus.
I was going to guess 150. 150.
Yeah, so that probably sounds right for 2 years.
Because it seems like every...
I can tell you how many pages I lettered last month, because I actually started keeping track of that. Last month, I lettered 243 pages.
Good God, man.
Yeah.
Me too. I drew that many. 16 different
books. Here I am boasting about like my 25 books in 5 years. Shit, I ain't out of that. I gotta catch up.
And Andy, Andy, where can we find you on social media, Andy?
Andy Eschenbach on Twitter, ESCHENBACH, and strangecrime.com.
There you go. You guys are so wonderful. And Andy, you're also a tattoo artist, yes?
I am.
Do you want to plug your tattoo shop, or do you not give a fuck either way?
I run Flying Tiger Tattoo in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a beautiful shop. It's a very hip neighborhood you have there.
Yeah.
But you're in Pleasant Ridge, yes?
Yeah. It's had a bit of an upswing lately, I guess.
It has. It really has. Pleasant Ridge is nice.
Yeah.
We need to manufacture like a tattoo grudge between us when we do interviews.
You guys want to start that? We can do that now.
We got to cut promos first. Like a wrestling match.
I get serious when I'm about to unbutton the top button.
Yeah. So
don't make me fucking unbutton this.
Kate, you could be in the middle of this because Brian has tattooed you, but Andy has not. Andy, you could take that shit personally. So he's got the hood on.
My hands, because Brian's too much of a chicken shit to do my hands. So.
Oh.
What's cool is that Kate isn't afraid. You know, my favorite thing about Kate is she's unafraid to lie in public. That's my favorite thing about her.
No, it's okay. So Kate is saying that you're afraid to tattoo her hands, but Brian, you're saying different.
I think that afraid is a little bit of a stretch. I'm not
a bit of a stretch. I'll give you that. But you would rather not.
I'd rather not.
Why not?
a lot of reasons.
Well, give me.
We need two. Give two.
Well, number one, I don't love tattooing hands.
Okay.
I guess sure. There's an accuracy in some of the fear. I don't want to bum Kate out. Like if I don't nail it. And we kind of have an established working relationship that I don't like want that to do that. You know, I don't want to bum her out. Also, like I tend to overwork hands. Like it's just kind of like I do a lot of layering when I tattoo. And so I just kind of have this habit of overworking them. That's just a deficiency in my process. So I try to be really judicious about what I do on hands. So if we're getting real about it in public, that's okay. Why.
Right. I tell people that. I was just teasing you, hun. Honestly, like.
I'm going to take it extremely. Now I'm going to go to bed crying about it. So.
Well, you ain't going to bed for like another like 9 hours, so we don't have to worry about that. Now, Andy, how do you feel about tattooing Kate's hands? Do you not give a fuck as long as the check clears?
No. I give a fuck, but I know I'll do a good job.
Yeah. Oh, shit, son.
What?
Oh, shit.
Brian would do a good job too. He just thinks too much.
It's like the source of here all of a sudden. Like Andy is firing shots now at Brian.
I know.
We give him all the shit. And, but, oh my God, you guys, the ink that Brian has put on, I mean, like anyone else would buy, but like mine, like is just gorgeous. And like, it really stings. And like I get so many compliments.
Did you say it stings? Brian's really hard when he does
this. It does sting. Oh my God. He's so heavy handed.
I heard Andy's real gentle. Like it's like a kiss from an angel.
He's pretty light.
I get Andy, the colors feather. Are gorgeous, and they just are just beautiful, and I get compliments everywhere I go. So I know I've been giving you shit, honey, but it really, honestly, like I love every piece I get from you, and I want more. And I'm excited to be done, so I can.
I don't take any offense to it. I think it's funny because Andy and I are just talking about tattoos like tattooers talk about tattoos, and everybody else is like, "Oh my God," and we're just like, "What?" This is how it is,
dude. Like, I'm trying to get fucking downloads by manufacturing.
Oh fuck yeah! I forgot I said that. I'm sorry. You know what? Yeah. Fuck Andy. Fuck Flying Tiger.
Brian, trying to get listeners, man. This
you wouldn't really believe the shit I have to change in these scripts. It's crazy.
Shit's whack, son. It's whack.
You can't have no Waffle House after this interview. That's
no, so you guys are going to sit on opposite ends and play mean music on the jukebox at each other. And that shit will be tight as fuck. And it'll be
we're just
awesome.
Like eyeballing each other from across the place. Like...
What would your dueling jukebox tunes be? You know, if you...
That's a good
question. Yeah, that's a good question. If you want to kill somebody in Waffle House, you play the Waffle House theme song.
we're trying to have one person die, not a whole ass riot.
I almost got in a fight at a Waffle House for playing the Waffle House theme
really?
Song. Really? Yeah, truckers hate that shit and they take offense.
What? Yeah. Like, I'm not familiar with the Waffle House theme song. I mean, I remember hearing it because I spent a lot of my teenage years at Waffle House, but I don't remember the lyrics to it. Can you sing it for me, Andy? How does the song go?
Like, look for that big yellow sign, morning, noon, and night. Look for that big yellow sign. Come on in, we'll do you right. That's all I got.
But so why would workers take offense to that? I don't understand.
Because they'd rather hear some racist shit from David Allen Coe.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
For real, those motherfuckers in there blasting fucking David Allen Coe and shit all night.
Is that on the Waffle House jukebox?
The Waffle House jukebox game is, I mean, yeah, it's Spotify. That's all it is, and you stick quarters in it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
David Allen Coe.
Yeah, dude, that's what they're after.
I was shocked. I mean, I'm an IHOP guy. They don't have a jukebox.
That's because you're right. Classy.
Yeah, they have Muzak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's worse, but I mean whatever. It doesn't have that. Mean,
all the extra money on those 52 different syrup flavors. That's why they don't have any extra money left over for the jukebox.
You're right, but you can't mess with that blueberry syrup. That is delicious on some pancakes. I mean,
you could have a Waffle House waffle, and I would be like, I'll take a Waffle House waffle and maple syrup over any fucking flavored syrup all day long.
Ooh, oh,
Waffle waffles with ass.
So if you had to pick, Brian, you're going to Waffle House every time.
Every time.
Okay. What about you, Andy? Where are you going?
Oh, yeah, I would pick Waffle House.
Okay, so what, Kate?
I would probably do actually, oh God, this is going to sound stupid, but it's called Clary's. It's this diner down here in Savannah that like does like, it's the best greasy spoon. If you've ever seen the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Okay, yes.
So.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Oh all my right. God, they're
fancy.
It's so greasy. Their grits are swimming in butter and shrimp, and it's delicious. It's very, very southern.
Awesome. What about you, Michael? Where are you going?
Oh, Waffle House.
You're a Waffle House. Oh
man. Yeah, that's my guy. that's my friend right there.
You guys gonna get together and grab some Waffle House? All right, I dig that. But
once we're vaccinated, dude, you can't stop us.
I mean, right? Waffle House is great.
I'm an educator. I'm on the list. What group 1B in Georgia? It's
oh,
coming
shit, for real.
Send me some pictures from Waffle House. So I can have some heart palpitations.
So there's actually a Waffle House down the street from my apartment. I'll have to roll in and just take a quick snap and be like, haha, as soon as I get that first good shot of mine.
Awesome. I can only imagine what if you walk into a Waffle House with a mask on, what the truckers would have to say about you.
Oh, I mean, going anywhere sure with a mask down here, people got shit to say, you know. I'll tell you what.
Tell us.
No, I think I just told you.
Do tell.
Yes, I want to know. Let's hear it.
Bob like, wants the goss.
I want to hear some gossip. Ass. I've been in a load in my house for almost a year. Let's talk about this. This is awesome. That's wonderful.
I mean, in Georgia. Like, don't y'all know everything that's been going on in this state? Because everyone's been watching us for the past, since like August or something.
Yes, you guys have a terrible governor in Georgia.
Oh my God.
Who can't make up his mind about what he wants to do.
So, you know, I'm a recent transplant. Like, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and I've only been teaching now, like, year and a half or so down here. So, I was originally going to, like, vote, absentee from Missouri, because Missouri's got some shit going on, too.
Yeah.
They need some blue votes. And then after Kemp tried to pull his shenanigans this past year, you bet your ass I definitely registered as a Georgia voter.
That's awesome.
I did my duty.
That's awesome. That's really cool. That's fun. All right. So I guess anything else? Any parting shots? You guys want to get anything else out there while you're doing this, or are we good to go?
Brian Level is a bitch.
Yeah, I'm a bitch.
True. He just left. Brian just peaced out.
I'm dead, dude. He killed me.
Oh, he killed you? That's awesome.
In response to that, I would like to very seriously and gravely threaten Andy by letting him know that it's been nothing but a pleasure to be on this book with him. And everybody has been incredible. So, genuinely, like, this is my first writing credit professionally.
Yeah, that's
like,
cool, right?
You know, I've had stuff in anthologies and stuff, and not that that stuff doesn't count, because I'm very proud of all that stuff. This is the longest thing that's ever been published that I've kind of helped write, and it's a really big deal for me, and to kind of do it with my friends means the world to me.
That's awesome. You're trying to take everybody's job. Now you're writing and shit, son. I mean, it's not bad enough that you're a great artist. Now you're a great writer, too.
Well, I mean, that if it's bad, then Andy wrote it. If it's great, I wrote it all.
It's true.
Andy, are you prepared for that? Like, are you prepared for the this joke really lands and Brian going, that's my joke, motherfucker. I
do that. Look, straight up, if it's a dick joke, I probably wrote it.
No, does Brian write all the dick jokes? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, I guess. Some of the dick jokes are mine, and some of the dick jokes are Kate's too.
Really? Okay. So Kate, you got to contribute dick jokes to this as well. Okay.
The visual gags.
Yeah. Oh, the gags. Huh. This is. Wait, was that inappropriate? I really tried to swing that one out. I was like, man, I'm gonna knock this one, and then it got no laughs. It was super fucked up.
Oh no, I already tried to spin it into something better, and it was dead on arrival. Sorry.
Yeah, I gave you like a okay, clever. That was
yeah.
Sometimes yeah,
we
needed
like
get.
Some of those Letterman, like those Letterman cards, like
applause. You know, like you want to try it again, and we can all just kind of ha 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 and clap it up for that one, or are you good? Yeah. You know what? I can do that in post. I'll add that shit in post production.
Just a big like roar, this, like a crowd roar.
You know, like a soundboard, like a zoo morning zoo crew type, where it's just like awooga.
Yeah, just play audio from the movie The Mask, and we'll be all right.
Okay, the test you can just drop in. Do not go in there.
just bleep out my joke with like a really long bleep. That'll be funnier than the joke I made.
Oh my God. Way,
I'll figure something out for you. So this book is out.
You can save it. It's fine.
Word. All right. So this book is out now. Head to your local comic shop. Pick up Chain of the Grave, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And I mean, I would say for six people in a Zoom meeting, this went pretty well.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Went very well. Thank you for having us.
This is on you. Kevin and I are not good at this at all. This is, you guys are entertaining and fun, and we appreciate having all of you on.
This is my second time on here, and I hope you all have me again, because I love talking to you guys.
Brian, I love Andy. I love you. You got Micah. You're wonderful too. Kate, we've just met. This is like, you guys are like a match made in heaven. Anytime you have anything you need to promote when the trade comes out, feel free to come back, and we can just talk about waffles.
Yeah,
and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
This was lovely, and it was so lovely getting to meet you guys and everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was, let me see if I got everybody's name. That was Brian Level, Andy Eisenbach, Kate Sharon, and Micah Myers. They're the creative team from Chained to the Grave from IDW. That book is in comic shops right now. Go pick that up. Again, Kevin and I were talking about this before we hit record to exit the recording. It's beautiful.
It's a lovely book.
It's a really, really great book. I think you're really going to dig it. So
it's like a Western via Adult Swim.
Yeah.
So like if you were watching an Adult Swim show, that was a Western, it would be this book. So like I definitely recommend for fans of anything on Adult Swim, going and checking out Chained to the Grave.
Yeah, dude, it's really cool, man. And if you want to check out Chained to the Grave, you know what, let me see if they have it. I'm going to go to thewordbros.com, right? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to thewordbros.com, which is our website. I'm going to click on our Things from Another World banner that is on our website. And I'm going to type in Chained to the Grave. Come on, man, what's up?
Where you can get, possibly you can get Chained to the Grave and tell them the Word Bro sent you.
Yep, you can pick up Chained to the Grave on Things from Another World. So if you want to check this book out, and your local comic shop doesn't have it, just go to thewordbros.com, click on the Things from Another World banner and type it in the search box, and boom, there it is, Chained to the Grave. You could pick that thing up, boom. And thank you to Things from Another World for sponsoring the podcast. We really appreciate it. So yeah, so check them out. They're doing a lot of cool things. That's TWAF.com, or just go to wordbros.com, click on the banner, the Chained Things from Another World banner, click on that, and it'll take you right to the store. So thank you very much to Things from Another World for sponsoring the show. And Brian, I mean, excuse me, Kevin, Brian, because I'm looking at his name. Kevin, that's another one in the books, baby.
It is. And if you also want to buy some of the Word Bros books to add to your collection, if you go to thewordbros.com and click buy our books, you can do just that. You can buy any of our books.
You can. And I even added a Who Are the Word Bros page with a nice picture of us when I had short hair and we're clean cut and out in the world doing stuff.
Back before COVID weathered us and made us look like we were actually characters in The Road Warrior.
Yeah, so it's very cool, man. So yeah, go to thewordbros.com, check out everything we got going on there. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week with more guests, doing more things, and having more fun. So again, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.